We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me grab my clicker. Okay, Moses and Aaron, finding your faith, finding your voice. Here's our theme scripture that we're basing this series off of. 1 Peter 4:10. And it reads, God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And I think that's so encouraging and so inspiring. We have so many individuals with different gifts and different talents in this church. And, you know, I know for myself, it was on display, you know, especially just last night, being at the Huntley's 42nd wedding anniversary. That was so inspiring, and it just helps me to know that, hey, you know, God can do amazing things in our marriages, in our families. And just the talent that was on display last night. I mean, we actually had the Supremes there last night. It was Dupree. But it was incredible. I mean, God has given this church, you know, some incredible individuals with some incredible talents. And I praise God for that. Amen. Okay, so getting into Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, they were born in a time where there was oppression and slavery. Can you imagine being born in such a time? You know, when your thoughts and your ideas and your well-being was of no importance to no one outside of your immediate family. You know, you were told to work. You worked when you were told to work. You slept when you were told to sleep. You had to come and go as you were commanded to. You know, if you weren't killed as an infant. We're going to first speak about Aaron. So Aaron, of course, he was the oldest brother of Moses. God appointed him as the spokesperson and appointed him as the first high priest. That was a high honor back then. Aaron was humble to his brother's leadership. And, you know, I can speak a little bit about that because, you know, I was born in a family of 10. I'm the youngest brother. I have four older brothers. And over the years, you know, I noticed that there was a struggle with me giving my oldest brother respect because my other siblings would come to me before they would go to him. And he took issue with that because he felt like they needed to come to him. And so I acknowledged that by running everything by my oldest brother prior to doing anything. And that resolved the whole issue. Aaron grew up knowing he had a brother that he would probably never meet. Aaron was a slave. He was always serving others. But on the other side, Moses, he was a prince. And he was being served. What would Aaron have thought of his brother? What kind of thoughts did he have about his brother? I'm throwing that out there, a question. What kind of thoughts would have went through your mind knowing that this situation was going on, John?
Resentment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably thinks he's spoiled.
Thinks he's spoiled, okay, yeah, absolutely.
Jealousy.
Jealousy, yes.
Envy.
How did Aaron feel? How must he have felt during, you know, as this was going on, just knowing that, hey, my youngest brother is living in this palace. He is getting the best education, the best food, people serving him. And here I am, a slave being oppressed, having to live in isolation all my life. Turn over to Exodus 4. We're going to start reading in verse 27. And basically, what's happening here, Moses has been sent by God to go back to Egypt. Okay? He was very reluctant to do so, but he was told to go. And so we're going to pick up in verse 27. It says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the signs he had commanded him to perform. And Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they had heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped." What a scene here. This is basically shows a lot about Aaron's character. This was their first interaction since Moses was put in the basket at 3 months old. But despite any feelings that Aaron may have been having, it says he loved him. And he kissed him. He was happy to see his brother. After almost 80 years, you hadn't seen your brother. So my question would be, what are your relationships like with your biological and spiritual siblings? How are those relationships? You know, does distance cause us to have some attitudes? You don't call me like you need to call me. You know, I don't hear from you. Do we get attitude with that? Does that cause issues in our relationships? You know, if so, we need to take a look at Aaron and see how that didn't bother him. How he loved his brother. And he was going to be there to serve him and to work with him to accomplish the will of God. When we find our voice, we still have to speak in love. You know, love is the key. When you're finding your voice, you know, sometimes things are, you know, get difficult in our relationships, but we have to speak it in love. Turn over to Numbers 12. You guys with me? And I do believe that, you know, we can learn lessons from Aaron. You know, lessons in brotherly love, sisterly love, humility, loyalty, faithfulness, and also a willingness to serve despite how you're feeling or what you're thinking. In Numbers 12, this is the situation concerning Miriam and Moses' brother and sister. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of the Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Bible says, "And the Lord heard this." That brings chills to me. "And the Lord heard this." For me, you know, when I look at this passage, I believe that jealousy of power and influence of Moses was the real cause of their complaint. And we can go there. You know, at our jobs, someone got promoted, and I did not get promoted. I cannot believe they promoted this individual. You know, we just get attitudes, and we may not say it, but in our heart of hearts, we feel that way. And just, you know, just the influence. God spoke to him, and he didn't speak to me. What makes him so special? What makes her so special? And we just have to address these issues that we're dealing with in our hearts on a day-to-day basis. The Bible says, "And the Lord heard this." Some of us have no problem finding our voice. We just, you know, we're going to say what's on our minds, what's on our hearts, and that's good. That's real good. Miriam was made lepers for what she and her brother said. You know, our words can get us in a lot of trouble. We can't take things back once they come out. We have to be sure that when we speak, that we are very mindful of what we say. You know, I know for me, just, you know, when I'm feeling like I'm upset or agitated, that is not a time for me to speak or to talk, because nothing good is going to come out of that. In church, we have to use wisdom, you know, when speaking, not only to one another, but to our spouses, to our children. Because our words can damage individuals for the rest of their lives. God remembers what we say with the voice he has given us. Just as a reminder, he remembers every word. The Bible talks about every careless word will be judged. Everything that comes out Our tongues can send us to one place or the other. What we say, how we say it. And we have to be very, very careful. And I know that, you know, just being married for the past 21 years, you know, that was a challenge in our marriage, you know, but I know that we have kind of talked through things, Chloe and I, where we're like, you know what, we're going to take a time out right now, because right now is not the proper time to talk about what we want to talk about. And it, as couples, you know, as parents, you got to be able to discern those things, because God remembers those words. Let's talk about Moses. You know, Moses, we could talk about Moses all day, all year. You know, he was the father of faith. God called him a friend. God talked to him face to face. In your spare time, go back and read Acts 7:20-44. It's a whole summary of the life of Moses. In Acts 7:22, it says that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. And we're going to see in a few minutes, like, really? Was he really? Another thing about Moses in Numbers 3, and this impacts me every time I read it. God says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. For God to say that about you, that's amazing. When another brother or sister says that about you, you need to take that and appreciate that. I want my wife to say that about me. Now, could she? You know... It's according to what day it is, but, you know. But that's a key to having a relationship with God, is being humble. That's the key to having a relationship with one another. That's the key to having a relationship with your spouse. I want to tell you that the Sterlings couldn't have been married for 42 years without doing this, without being humble towards one another. That doesn't happen. It takes humility. We have to do this with our children. You know, a lot of times it's just like, because I said it, that's why you need to do it. And we want to be this authority 24/7, even when they're getting in their teen years, and that just doesn't jive with some of our teenagers, you know, as we all could probably, you know, talk about, right? But it says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. When they attacked Moses, Moses didn't say a word. There was no mention of Moses saying anything during this time. Moses was credited for writing the first five books of the Bible. He had a lot of influence. A lot of influence. But Moses was very, very reluctant and afraid when he was called to go back to Egypt. And let's read about that. Exodus 4, starting in verse 10. The Bible says, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." My friend Moses. But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. I will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it." Moses was just like, "Man, please, I am not the one. Please send someone else. I know there's someone else out there that can do it." We cannot get in God's way because we are afraid. Fear can make us take a step back. Fear can make us pause and stop doing the things that God wants you to do, using the gifts that God wants you to use, using your voice. Fear can stop us. And the opposite of fear is faith. We got to have faith that God has put us in this situation for a reason, and I need to step up and take action. Finding your voice means trusting that God will speak through you. It's a trust factor as well. Just trust in God. If God says go, you know, he's the creator, then go. And trust that there's a reason why he's telling you to go. Trust in God. And I think we all struggle with that at times. There are situations that God has allowed us to be in, whether in the past or currently, that we're like, "Are you sure? Are you sure this is for me? Are you sure you want me to do this?" Turn over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, let me get there. I'm going to start in verse 12. And this is talking about Moses and the glory of God. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And I'll stop right there because that one little passage, that is an incredible prayer to pray. That if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. That's become my prayer. And he goes on to say, remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will you know that you are pleased with me? How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses says, now show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he says, you cannot see my face. For no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on the rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in a rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And this is just an incredible passage that Moses is having a conversation with God, and he is asking and requesting things from God. There's no shyness. He's not reluctant. He's very bold. And he's asking to see God's glory. Show me your glory. Matter of fact, he wanted to see his face. It's like you would die if you see my face. You can't see my face. Moses definitely found his voice at this point. Would you guys agree? You know, and I think that the older we get in Christ, the longer our journey is with Christ, the more we will find our voice. But it's a journey. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And for all the college kids, you know, it's a journey. God has to mature us. We have to go through things. And a lot of times we don't want to go through those things. But Moses went through a lot before he got to this point. He boldly requests assurance from God. He was wanting assurance that, hey, God, I want to make sure that you are with me. How will I know that you are with me? What signs will you give me? Who are you going to send with me? He wanted answers. He went from being afraid of a burning bush to wanting to see God's glory. From trembling in front of a burning bush to seeing God's glory. And brothers and sisters, I think that came from and stemmed from his time with God. I mean, he went up to the mountain. He spent 40 days up there, just him and God. He was spending just so much time talking to God, being with God, listening to God. But God had given him confidence and assurance that, hey, I'm with you. And all the people around him seen that confidence, and they were willing to follow Moses. Even his older brother, Aaron. So I want to wrap up here. By saying we should always be gracious and loving with what we say. You know, we should just, everything that comes out, we should speak the very words of God to one another. In a loving way. In a way that's going to, we're going to build each other up. Just as God built Moses up. God remembers our words. We have a voice, but we need to use it to use that voice to bring glory to God. Because God remembers our words. Your voice comes from trusting God with what He wants you to say. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where you're like, should I say this? This is what I really want to say, but should I say it? God is going to give you the wisdom to say it in a way that whomever you're communicating with, they're going to get it. But don't hold back. Do it in a loving way, but say it. Because, see, we're here to encourage one another, to speak the truth in love, to inspire one another. And if I'm going astray, I want a brother or a sister to say, hey, Mike, can we talk? I want that kind of voice. And God has allowed us to have many different voices in this room to help one another. And we need to use that. So God, your voice comes from trusting God with what He wants you to say. And I think another point here for me was we should be bold in our prayers to God. Moses was very, very bold here in Exodus 33. He was like, show me your glory. Give me a sign. How would I know that you're with me? That's bold. You know, and God wants us to be bold in our prayers, not to hold back. So, church, thank you for joining me this morning, and go get your kids.